Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina 27201. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Well, thank you for joining us today as we are getting ready to launch into our new book study in 2 Timothy. I decided after having completed 1 Timothy, maybe this would be a good time to move on into 2 Timothy, because so many of the background items are familiar, and we wouldn't have to spend as much time talking about that, though this is a different epistle, written at a different time and from a different location. And it is Paul's final epistle, the last one he wrote. Not the last one in our Bible, because our Bibles put 1 and 2 Timothy together and then Titus. But chronologically, Titus was written before 2 Timothy, and 2 Timothy turns out to be the last epistle that Paul wrote before he was executed. His final one. At least the final one that is included in the canon of Scripture. If there were others, they weren't included. They weren't inspired Scripture that was included in our canon. But this is the last one. This is Paul's final farewell. And so we're going to start by taking a brief overview of the entire book and then go back and, in our usual manner, study it verse by verse, phrase by phrase, in some cases even word for word. So, thank you for joining us on this Thursday, August 19, and many, many thanks to those whose financial gifts make it possible for us to maintain the Beacon Broadcast on this and several other stations. Well, Paul is a man who said goodbye a lot, because that was the nature of his work and his calling. He was an apostle, he was a missionary, he traveled from place to place. He ministered in a location for a while, and then he left them when he thought they were able to carry on the ministry, the church, by themselves, though he never cut himself off from anybody. When I say he left them physically, he left them geographically, he left them from his active ministry to move on to another place, another location where he could pursue active ministry, but he never really left anybody, at least any churches. He always stayed in contact with them. He prayed for them. He inquired about them, and many times, oftentimes, as much as possible, he revisited them. So he was saying goodbye a lot. But this epistle, 2 Timothy, is Paul's final farewell. Not one of those goodbye for the time being, I'll see you later kind of farewells that we do a lot of too. But his final farewell, the one where he knew he was really just a short time, weeks at the most, away from his day of death, his execution date. And so he is writing his final farewell to Timothy and others that he will never see again in this world. Last words of the Apostle Paul. And we generally consider last words to be significant, don't we? If somebody has something to say just before they die, before they pass into eternity, we're generally extremely interested in what it is they have to say, whatever it may be. We want to know what last words. What do you think is most important to leave your loved ones when you know you are leaving this world and will never inhabit this world again? What do you have to say at a time like that? Because we know that at a time like that, the last words are not going to be a joke. They're not going to be insignificant words about the weather or about sports. They are, if it's a Christian, surely, going to be something that is of profound spiritual significance. We know that. And therefore, we treasure last words. Well, 2 Timothy is such a body of material. These are the last words of the Apostle Paul. And if all the last words of everybody are not always important, I can assure you these are. These words are important because they are not only the final words of the Apostle Paul, a man such as that, and indeed he was one of the greatest spiritual giants of all times, and so his final words are vitally important, but as it turns out, they are also the inspired words of the Holy Spirit of God. In that mysterious operation of inspiration, whereby the words of chosen men, called prophets, are at the same time the words of Almighty God. Holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. That's the mystery of inspiration, that this book we call the Bible, and all the books of the Bible that are included in this book called the Bible, the 66 books of the Bible, that all of those books are at the same time books written by men. They have a human author, every one of them, but at the same time, the Word of the living God. They are divine words. They are human words. They are divine words. It is a mystery that some people stumble over, just like some people stumble over the inexplainable mystery of the incarnation of Christ, the what is sometimes called the hypostatic union of Christ, how that in the same person, Jesus Christ is fully God and fully man. Not 50-50, not half God, half man, 100% God. Eternal God is he. And 100% man. He is fully human. You say, I can't figure that out. I can't explain that fully. Join the club. I can't understand that fully. I can't explain that fully. But I know it's true. There is an element of mystery in it. There's some things that we can't understand about it and can declare about it, but we can't understand everything and we can't teach everything. There's an element of mystery in that, and there's an element of mystery in this book we call the Bible. But this book is indeed the Word of men and the Word of the living God. And that, of course, makes 2 Timothy vitally important. It's not only the last words of a man, not only the last words of a great man, but it turns out to be the last words of a great man that turn out to be the words of the living God. But in this book, we learn a lot of things, including how the Apostle Paul faced death. And we'll learn about that in chapter 4. In fact, even in some of the preceding chapters, but particularly in the final verses of the last chapter. And in that way, we'll learn something of how we, who are God's children, ought to face death. I trust you are willing to think about that. It ought not to be a subject that is avoided at all costs. It is a subject that ought to be considered thoughtfully, prayerfully, seriously. Don't run from it. Think it through. How are you going to face death? Learn how. Learn from the Apostle Paul. Now let's consider, first of all, a chronology of Paul's last years. This is Paul's final imprisonment that is before us in 2 Timothy. There are a number of epistles that we call the prison epistles. They were all written while Paul was imprisoned in Rome during his first Roman imprisonment when he was under house arrest. But 2 Timothy is written during his second Roman imprisonment the imprisonment that wound up in his execution. You can get that sense in looking at chapter 4, verse 6. Paul says, "For I am now ready to be poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith." Paul is expecting to be executed. In fact, Paul has already had a trial, and he is awaiting execution. He makes reference to that in verse 16 of chapter 4. He said, "At my first defense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. May it not be charged against them." At my first defense, or we might say, Paul's first hearing in his preliminary trial, when his case came up for the first hearing, at my first trial, at my first appearance, that might be another way to put it, my first court appearance, nobody stood with me. Isn't that sad? The great Apostle Paul, with many who loved him, but nobody was courageous enough to be by his side during that first court appearance. Nobody stood with me, but all forsook me. May it not be charged against them. Well, this tells us something about how Paul died and how we ought to die. We're talking about his last days now. He did so with a gracious spirit towards others. He could have railed against those who didn't stand with him, who were cowardly in the day of his trial and the day when he needed their support more than any other time. But he says, "No one stood with me." He's honest about the facts. He tells it like it is. And that, of course, does point the finger of blame at those Christians who were present in the city of Rome and could have been expected to stand with him at this time. Of course, to do so probably would have marked them out for persecution and death, too. These are persecution days. These are days of intense persecution by that maniac of an emperor, the Roman Emperor Nero, who was alarmingly berserk, probably was insane or something close to it. So anybody who would have stood with him would have probably marked themselves out for the same fate that awaited the Apostle Paul. It would have taken quite a lot of courage to stand with him under those circumstances. And sadly, nobody was prepared to do so. But Paul says, "May it not be charged against them." Sounds like somebody else I know, doesn't it? Sounds like our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. All of his disciples forsook him and fled, but he didn't hold it against them either. Christ even prayed that his persecutors, those who executed him, would not have that laid against their charge. "Father, forgive them," he said, "for they know not what they do." And Paul is evidencing the spirit of Christ. That's instructive. That's inspiring. That's challenging. And that tells us how we need to face death. And hopefully, when that time comes, we will be more like Christ than any other time in our earthly existence, because we will be closer to being with Christ than any other time during our earthly existence. Oh, there's a lot we can learn here. Join me tomorrow. Until then, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.